I want to hear Brother Billy preach. Amen. Brother Billy, if you will, you come on and preach for it. I don't know where that mic is. Does anybody see it?
Behind the offering plate.
All right. You know, that's right where I left it.
Yeah.
That doesn't always help, Brother Billy, does it? Amen. Good to see you, Brother Billy. Appreciate you so much. So glad that you're here to share the Word of God with us today and make sure that thing's on. It is. Amen. Preach to us, brother. I need it.
Amen. Amen. Me too. Yes, sir. Brother Donnie tied it in a knot before he gets it.
I can do it. I can't untie it.
Checking my skills. Sorry for the noise. Good to be in God's house today. Good to be with one of you. We pray the Lord bless you. Hey. Trust that He already has. Amen. I want to be mindful of so many. You know, this past week was an eventful week. Some of you probably heard Brother John Burke passed to his brand new home. And so we were over in Mississippi Thursday for the service. And Brother John had made it to 93. Of course, many of those years, you know, he was, you know, probably not aware of all of his whereabouts. He's been at the rest home for probably 4 years, I think it was. And his funeral service was just exactly what you might think it would be. Amen. And so we tried to honor him. And I trust that, you know, we'll say a few things about him today, because the memorial service was a blessing. It really was a blessing. Amen. But, you know, you expect, we think what an icon in the gospel, like Brother John is, when he passes, you think there won't be a football field big enough to hold the folks. But Brother John outlived most of his peers. And so when you get to 93 and above, it may have that problem. And then some were just unable to come, and some were scattered and different things of that nature, and a lot of miles, you know, to get there. But we had a lot of people that loved Brother John, and I'll just say a few words about him. I may say a few things about him, you know, in the message, because we very rarely see men like Brother John Burke. I don't know if we could go a lifetime and never encounter one.
Yes.
But when you talk about Brother Ike and Brother John and all of these great men of God that have been, you know, icons for not just for young preachers, but for young Christians and for young kids, and you know, you're raised around those, and then you see the things that come because of this way. The way of death and the way of how we diminish, you know, that this is a part of God's plan. And so in the middle of it all, you think of all the great moments. You know, Brother John probably preached more here than he did where I was for 16 years, but I know he came twice a year. So it's probably some 25 or 30 revivals he preached there. And we've done a lot of visits and had a lot of personal time. But this is the thing I remember the most, Brother Donnie. He put more books and tapes in my hands as a young preacher. They would just come. And he's like, "Brother, I'm going to send you this. You know, you need this." If, how many of y'all remember when Brother John talked? You know, as he got older, when he talked, he kind of had a little whistle in his voice sometimes. And he's like, "Brother Billy, you need this right here. I'm going to send it to you. Be expecting this." And so we were saying something about this in his service the other day. I've never used this passage before where Jesus said, "And lay up not for yourselves treasures on the earth, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal." Well, Brother John had that right. He mastered that. That would be his motto. He laid it up. He sent it on before him. He gave it away. And so, talk about this man that none of y'all have ever met, I don't believe. But Brother Walt Tessier was mentored by Brother John. And Brother Walt felt inspired to give Brother John a Cadillac that he had. And if y'all remember his Cadillac, that's where he got it from, Brother Walt. But Brother Walt said, you know what happened? Brother John found somebody thought needed it worse than he did, and he gave it to them. Brother John was a transferring station. He didn't keep anything. He sent it all before him, before he went. Amen. And that God give us that. Amen. Let God make us givers and not hoarders. Amen. So you may have something, you know, that you see, well, hey, God's put that on my heart to give it. Amen. And it is more blessed to give than to receive. Right, and that verse ain't been taken out, has it? It's more blessed to give than to receive. And so God give us this great truth. Amen. You got your Bible. Look with me to Acts 28. We talk about a couple of things right here that may remind us. We may say a few things along the way. But we find it here, one of the greatest men, if there ever was. Well, you know, I want to preface that a little bit by talking about the gifts that God gave the church. You remember the gifts of ministry that God gave? While you're holding your place in Acts 28, I want you to turn back. Hold Acts 28 and turn back to Ephesians 4. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And let's talk about a minute, just the gifts that God gave His church. Amen.
That's right.
And so the ministry gifts, we're going to see them right there in Acts 4:11. And so you're probably waiting on me to get there. But Acts 4:11, we're going to begin where the Word said, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers.
Amen.
Notice that. Not everybody got the same gift.
Right.
This is not a welfare program where everybody gets equal pay. This is not communism where everybody gets on the dole.
Yeah.
No, this is God's authoritative way to minister to His church. And who did He call and who did He give it to? He gave it to some. Amen. And so when people would complain, why doesn't God allow me to be this? You know, we find those in the gospel that Paul and the elders had to scold, if you will, because they sought to be some great one. We find that in the book of Acts, and we see that very clear. But there were others that wanted the gifts that they saw the men of God had that had them, and the women of God, and they wanted them, but they couldn't have them. Why? Because He gave them to some. Amen. And that's why Paul's pointing this out. And he points it out repetitively that all of us don't have the same gift. I promise you, you have gifts that I could never even dream about. Amen.
Amen.
And so God's gave us each our own abilities. Watch now. Why did He give them? For the perfecting of the saints. That word does not mean that God's saints are going to be sinlessly perfect. That's not what He's talking about. That word speaks of the completion of the saints. God perfects us. He grows us into a mature Christian. That's what He's talking about. And so as we grow, that's the perfecting. That never means sinless perfection in this passage right here. But it's for the perfecting. It's for God making His church what He wants it to be. And that word saint is plural because it includes the body. And so now watch, it's for the edifying of the body of Christ till, how long is God going to perfect this church? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Now what's that mean? That's not speaking so much of gender. That's speaking of the completion of the body. What's that mean? God makes the church. We know that the church is always female in gender. But here God's talking about perfecting. What that word means, completing. It never means sinless perfection. And so we know the apostles didn't have that. We'll never attain that. Anybody that thinks they can attain that, just hasn't read enough about the Scriptures. And so we find it here that this is to bring us to the perfection, the completion, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Watch this 14th verse. And we'll move on because there's other things I want to see. But this said, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, just a couple of things I want to mention about this. This spells out the truth. The truth that the job of the church is to bring all the flock in and teach them the truth. And so what's that mean? The education. Sometimes that's involved with reproof. Yeah. I've been reproved from the pulpit. I bet you have, Brother Ray. Reproof. Rebuke. Yeah. Reproof. All of these things. What are they for? They're for the edifying of the body of Christ. God puts these people in our paths. Why? To mature us and perfect us and to grow us and to make His church what He wants it to be. And so, you know, sometimes I have heard things that dear women of God had to say, and it was like, boom, like a knife in my heart. And you know why? They said it in love. It wasn't anything they done wrong. I needed it, Brother Jamar. I needed that, and God gave that to me through a little sister. And you know what it done? It helped complete me and get my thinking right.
All right, well, amen.
And so, you know, sometimes it can be the least of the saints that says something or does something that just grows us and convicts us and gets us there and helps us along the way. And maybe it's encouragement. And then he said this, but speaking the truth in love, and may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, so this is what the early church done. They understood that they were to be mentors and teachers, and they were to be there to encourage young people and teenagers and grown folks and old folks and all of these things. God's give us all our gift to grow the body. Amen. And He puts people in our path. Now back up and see what He said. He gave some apostles. You see the ministry gifts here.
Amen.
Prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The fivefold ministry gifts. But that does not mean there's not more ministries. That does not mean that when you say, preacher, I don't know, I don't have a title on what I'm called to do. You don't need one, bless God. It's much what Mary said in John 2:5. Whatever He saith unto you, do. Nike made a commercial out of it by telling you that Mary had it before Nike got it. And so whatever He saith unto you, do. That's the call of God. That's an easy summation of what God's called you into. And that's just to do whatever He puts it on your heart to do. If God says you need to bake a cake and get over there to that sister, you need to be baking. And if you need to go visit and pray with someone, whatever that call is. Amen.
Amen.
And so being sensitive, you know how we're going to know to do that? By being sensitive to the Spirit of God. And so we can only be sensitive by spending time with Him. Amen. And so watch now. Go over. We talked about this just a moment. I told you I want to go to Acts 28. See some things here in the passage. Now, the Apostle Paul was the preacher of what we just read in Ephesians chapter 4.
Right.
God gave him 13 books of the New Testament. I give him credit for Hebrews. If he didn't write Hebrews, it's okay. Whoever did, it's good.
Amen.
And so, personally, I give him credit for Hebrews.
Yeah.
But we don't know that. And it's immaterial. But we do know, as we look here in Thessalonians, we do know when we see this, Acts, we're talking about Acts. Acts 28, look into Paul's missionary journey. Now watch now. Paul has become not just a prisoner, a soldier, a preacher, but he's on a journey. He's all of those things.
Yeah.
But God's got something in his way. And you know, oftentimes we would look and think, why would something so diminishing be a part of God's plan for me? You know, we do have events that happen in our life and we wonder, why me, Lord? Somebody wrote a song about that. And so, you know, they wrote a song about it because the rest of us were thinking it. And so here, this is why Paul, or pardon me, this is where Paul is in Acts 28. He is on his way to Rome. He is being sent there. You'll see it in the 27th chapter. And so we're not going to read all of these events, but he's on a boat. God's got him on a boat. And the boat has been injured. And they've come through the great storm, the Euclidean, the word said. And so here Paul said, fellas, listen, it's important that everybody stays in the boat.
Yeah.
And so they've done that for a season. You'll see the name of the storm there in the 14th verse. And so, and after a long tempestuous wind, that would be a hurricane in our way of thinking today. And so here they're going forward. I'm skipping down for the sake of time. Look in 21. But after long abstinence, that's prayer and fasting, no doubt Paul was praying and fasting. Matter of fact, I would imagine every heathen on there is praying and fasting by this time, because they don't know if they're going to live or die.
Yeah.
But Paul, after long abstinence, stood forth and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not to have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And so we talked about that. Sometimes we need the encouragement, and sometimes we need the reproof. Well, Paul has reproved them and spoke to them and said, fellas, you ought to listen to what God said. And you know, he's not saying he's God, but he's saying, I heard from the Lord. And if you'd listen, we wouldn't be out here bailing water. So watch now how quickly Paul's scolding turns to Paul's encouragement. You know, I think the people that understand how to help young Christians and win people to the Lord, I think they have to get this truth. If they don't, they're going to blow it. And we've all blown it somewhere in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not in our reproving that wins people. It's maybe a word of reproof, but it's bathed in love.
Amen.
And Paul has said, fellas, y'all blew it, you missed it, you've done all these things, the boat's harmed, we could all have been killed. But now, look at 22, how quick it turns to the positive.
Yeah.
But now I exhort you to be of good cheer.
Yeah.
And they're like, why? He got over that in a hurry. You know, don't you like it?
Yeah.
Don't you like it? I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, you know, I hated it when I broke fellowship with my mom or dad, you know. And not only was the whipping bad enough, but then, you know, like, doggone it, everything's messed up, nothing broke. Did y'all ever feel that? Or I'm only one.
Yeah.
And so you like, you know, it was like, oh, I broke fellowship and I want to get it back right with daddy or mama or whoever, grandma, grandpa. My grandpa got me one time, and he always told me, he's strong, man, loved me to death. I stayed with him until he died. Cancer got him as a young man. And so I moved in with him, stayed with him. But when I was a little bitty fella, I climbed a fence. He didn't put up with youngins climbing his fences. But I had somewhere I needed to be there, Larry. You know, I was, you know, my little bladder wasn't what it's supposed to be. And so I had somewhere I needed to go. He caught me climbing his fence. And when he physically caught me, I remember him bending me over the knee and wearing me out. You know, of course, that probably wasn't that bad, but it seemed terrible when you're about five. They all seem bad, don't they? And so this is what Paul's doing. You know, and as quick as I could, I wanted to get it back right with granddaddy. I wanted to be back on the right side, didn't you? And so you want that felt, you want that relationship healed up. And Paul has chided him a little bit. But then he said, fear not. God's telling Paul to fear not. And here he is saying to them in 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told.
Yeah.
Our reproof and rebuke is not effective if we stay there too long.
It's true.
We have to know when to say when. And that's not throwing them back. That's knowing when to say when. When dealing with young Christians or young believers or people that we love and care about, maybe even outside of the faith. You have to know the borders, and this is why so many people don't. You can't be an effective parent if you don't know that boundary. And so, you know, if you discourage them, you know, the Word of God speaks about this. The job of correction is not to discourage the children. I mean, you want to discourage them with bad stuff, but you don't want to discourage them overall.
That's right.
And same thing with young Christians. And then Paul's saying here, he said, listen, you ought to listen to me, fellas, and done as it was told me. Howbeit, look into 26. We must be cast upon a certain island, but when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and all day in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they were had come near to some country. So not going to read all of this for the sake of time, but they're sounding and they're finding out how far they are.
Right.
And go down a little bit and you're going to see it. So now the boat, look into 41, falling into a place where the two seas met, and they ran the ship aground and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. Paul still preaching, be of good cheer.
Yeah.
And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners. Well, Paul was one of them, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
He said, that probably ain't a good idea. I'm against it.
Yeah.
Let's don't do that.
No.
And so they were like, hey, let's just kill the prisoners and be done with it. And the soldiers counseled, that's what he said. But the centurion, willing to save Paul.
Amen.
You know, when we obey God, God puts people in our way that we'll find that are more of an asset than we ever thought they were.
That's it, Richard.
God wants to put assets in your life, and that's not just bank accounts and bonds and mutual funds.
Yeah.
God wants to put assets in your life, and so here, the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose. You know, there's a message that's talking about handfuls of purpose. Remember how Ruth came and God gave her handfuls of purpose. Well, I'm going to tell you, there was some purpose right here that was coming in by the handfuls too.
Yes,
and this fellow wanted to save Paul's life. And so Paul's going to go on. We're not going to read everything here that we're talking about. But Paul went on. And so what happened? Paul, the word said, he commanded that they themselves should swim, those that could swim, and get to land, and the rest were on boards, and some were on broken pieces, and that they escaped all safe to land. Watch now. They all got there. Bless God. We're all going to get there, church, if we stay in the way. Amen. If we listen to Christ, if we believe Him. We don't know our lot. We don't know what's going to come our way. But we know one thing. If we float in there on a board, it'll be all right. We're all going to get there. Amen. So it came to pass, they escaped all safe. You know, Brother John would have probably never dreamed in 100 years that he would spend the last few years of his life as he did.
That's true.
Pretty much no communication. Brother Walt said it well. Brother John had probably went on over before the body went on over. That's okay.
Yes, yes.
And so here's Paul trying to get where God wants him. And we know the fate of Paul. Paul didn't live forever, did he?
No.
Church history says he died at Nero's guillotine.
Right.
But here, God's given him time. God's given him purpose. God's given him, the call of God is on his life. And you know how long he's going to carry that out? To the bitter end. Amen. And so here, even those prison epistles, we thought he's talking about sending, bringing the parchments and bringing the books, but especially the parchments. And we know that those that came and tried to minister to Paul and reach Paul, it was a blessing in his life. But I'm telling you that Nero knew who Paul was till the day he took his life. And Paul was trying to win Nero to Christ. That's what he wanted.
Yes, sir.
Wanted to hear the word of God.
Yeah.
You said, well, he didn't go out in a blaze of glory. I believe he did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, preaching to everybody that come his way.
Sure did.
Reaching out to those. Preacher, I can't affect those I want to. Well, then affect those that are there.
Yeah.
Affect those that are around you. We don't get to pick everything that happens in our life, especially as we mature and grow older. But I tell you this, we can decide to be effective for Christ. And this is what happened. So see down a little bit further. The venomous beast, verse 4, I'll give you the quick on this. Paul was gathering some sticks for the fire. It's cold. The ocean waves were... the Mediterranean is not like you down in the warm waters of the Gulf. They're in the Mediterranean there, off the island. And so here we see it. They're trying to get the fire built and just warm up a little bit. And so as all of this is going on, the serpent comes out of the wood pile and latches on Paul.
Yes.
Got him on the hand or the wrist. Mm-hmm. And he sunk him in there. Paul flung him off. And everybody's watching. God give us this, church.
Yeah.
You know what everybody's doing? They're watching.
Yeah.
They're watching what's going on. They're going to see if this church thing's really real.
That's it.
They don't know, is there anything to it? You know, you hear of people that come on in later in life. You know why? Because they watch somebody. And so here's these heathens. We don't know what island exactly that they're on. I mean, we know the name of the island's Melita, but here the word said, the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. They were good to them, kindled a fire. And so after this, the viper came out and hung on his hand, verse 4. And they said among themselves, no doubt this man's a murderer. And the sea didn't kill him, but the snake's going to get him.
Yeah.
And then the word said, howbeit they looked when they had looked, when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had no harm come to him, you know what they done? They changed their mind. You know, as people get older, sometimes, not always, but sometimes those, especially the men that are hard-hearted toward the gospel, you know what God does? He starts letting them look over the other side and they change their mind.
Yeah.
You know what salvation is? It's a work of God on the inside. Only God can do it. But it is a change. Repentance is a change of mind. It's a repentance to sorrow, not to be repented of, Paul said.
Yeah.
It's a godly sorrow that worketh salvation to repentance, not to be repented of. But it's also a change of the attitude toward God.
Amen.
And so it's Paul here, and you know what they done? They said, I want to change my mind.
Yeah.
We done watched this fellow sling his thing off his wrist. And he ain't fell down yet. I'm changing my mind.
Yeah.
You know, you ever do that? Men probably ought to do this. You know, you ought to ask your wife sometimes, can I reserve the right to change my mind? Because sometimes you can see it like, hey, I'd been better off if I'd changed my mind. And so this is what they said. We're changing our mind. And they said, now, oh no, he ain't a heathen, he's a god.
Yeah.
You know, that's what salvation is. People say, well, how do I know I'm saved? What do I do? Do I do something? Do I have to go down there? Do I have to say that? Do I have to? It's not about what we have to. It's about what God does in the heart.
Amen.
When He changes our mind about His gospel.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes that's with great declaration, and sometimes that's very silently, isn't it?
It's true.
It don't have to be our way. We can't put everybody in our can.
No. No.
If they all got in our can, it'd be a messed up can anyway.
Yeah.
So this is what we see. People changing their mind about the gospel. They're affected by everyday life, church. Paul's not taking a text at the pulpit down at the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. He's out there on an island,
yeah,
gathering up sticks,
yeah,
throwing them on the fire, bit by a snake, waiting on them to fall down dead. Oh, but he didn't do it.
No.
These are the same folks that just floated in there on a plank. Don't forget about that.
Right.
Whatever they could get a hold of. And so, we see it here. Watch this, and before we go over to Ephesians one more time, I want you to see this. And the Word said, there was a man in the same quarters, the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius, boy, say that 10 times, Publius, lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed.
Yeah.
Who also honored us with many honors. Luke's the writer, don't forget about that.
Yeah.
And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Now old Publius is dead. Needed a touch from God.
Right.
And I want to ask you this. Are you going to be in a position when somebody needs a touch, there's enough God in you to minister to them?
Yes. God, yes.
That really is. When it says He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some teachers, that wasn't for a title. That was for a ministry.
Amen.
What God has put us in is the ministry. And forget the title. Nobody cares about that. Not anybody that understands.
Amen.
It's not about a title. It's about a ministry.
Yeah.
And how are we going to reach folks? Listen. Peter and James and John was not out there with Paul. Paul couldn't wait on somebody else to do it. When you're praying in a hospital room or by a bedside with a grandmother, or maybe wherever this is, whatever happens, you don't have someone else around to rely on. It's going to have to be you that ministers to them. How so? By faith and by the Word of God.
Amen.
You got to be able to reach them.
Yeah.
You say, I don't feel comfortable with that preacher. I couldn't ever do that. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
And you got to acquaint yourself with when God raises the opportunity. You have to be willing.
Yeah.
There's old Publius over there. Paul could have said, Publius' father's over there, and he could have said, listen, we got other fish to fry. We got to fix the boat. We got to do this. Got to do that. No, but he went and he laid hands on him,
yeah,
and God raised him up.
Yeah.
Got to be willing, church.
Amen.
To reach out, minister to them. And the last thing we read about Paul in that Acts, the 28th chapter, was that he spent 2 years in his own hired house.
Yes, he did.
You know what they let him have? Company. And even when that company come in, you know what he's doing, Brother Danny? He was sharing God's Word with them.
Amen.
Giving them God's Word. Amen. Brother Ike, Brother John, men like,
amen,
this, Brother Sammy, they gave their life,
amen,
to giving out the Word of God.
Amen.
Getting the Word of God out. Publishing the Word of God. Great was the company of them that published it. Remember that verse?
Yeah.
The Lord gave the Word. And great, Psalm 68:11, I believe. And great was the company of them that published it. And so he's publishing God's word out there on the island, freezing to death, fighting off the booger man, and all the voices that would say something inside of him of like, you're a miserable failure, and what are you doing here? And you know what the devil says? You know what he says to you? Same thing he said to Paul. Look at your life. It's a hot mess. You blew everything up you touched, and you no count for nothing. And this is why people today are doing drastic things to take their own life and harm their own bodies, because they're too busy to put the word of God in their heart, and they're listening to the booger man, and they're doing what the booger man said.
Yeah.
That's why suicide rate's off the chain.
Right, right.
Listening to the wrong voices. But did you hear what Paul said in closing? Paul said something right here I want you to see. We read it one time, I want you to see it again. He said, verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Ain't nothing to be excited about, Paul. We're out here, we're all fit to go down, son. You know, they wasn't feeling like Jonah. Jonah was wanting to get out of the boat. What?
That's right.
Jonah said, look, fellas, if y'all throw me over that side right there, and all of y'all's problems will be over. And so they thought, well, bless God, we really don't want to do it. But since you brought it up, Jonah, ching! And the sea settled down. And everything was calm except for Jonah. He said, from the belly of hell I cried.
That's right.
That's where it was. You want to run over here? That's scripture. That ain't same talk. And so he said, he didn't say from the belly of well. He said, from the belly of hell I cry.
That's right.
And them old tadpoles was in there swimming by Jonah. Yeah, and all them old fish pieces the old whale done ate come floating by. And Jonah's just trying to stay above those gastric juices. That's what he's wanting to do. Yeah, did you ever think that'd be your main goal that morning? Just trying to stay above those gastric juices. And so when he cried out, he said, from the belly of hell I cried. And when God, listen, when Jonah was spit out, I know you've heard this, but somebody said a backslid preacher would make anybody sick. And so here the word said that the whale, the fish, vomited Jonah out. That was a proud moment, wasn't it?
Yes.
And here Paul is, getting it done for the Lord. He's not running. He's not running from the Lord. He's running to the Lord.
Amen.
And when God got done with Jonah, he was running to the Lord too.
Right.
He said, just point me to Nineveh. Anybody got a road map? I need to get to Nineveh. I need to get there today.
Yeah.
And so God help us. Amen. Watch this as we stand together. I want you to see this. The last thing as we read here. Stand with us.
Amen.
Let's stand. You've been sitting a little bit. He said, sir, you should have hearkened unto me. That wasn't pride talking. That was just gospel truth.
Yeah.
You should have hearkened unto me. You know what I see right there? When God says something to you, you need to hearken.
Yeah. That's right, brother.
If God's put somebody in your life that says something and those warning bells start going off, go to hearken.
Yes.
And so here, you should have hearkened and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Watch now. You said, preacher, God got them through it. That's right. But if we hearken, closing thought right here. If we hearken to Him now, we won't have to go through it.
Amen.
We won't have to go through it.
Amen.
Hardships may come that we have to endure. But let's don't endure them because we didn't listen to Him.
No.
Listen to Him.
Hallelujah.
And God will cause us to avoid the pits. David, in many of the Psalms, he asked God's protection from the pit.
Yeah.
And the trick. And the disguise of the enemy. And you know what we need? We need God to lead each step as we go.
Yeah.
Prayerfully, carefully.
Amen.
Listening to Him.
Amen. Yeah.
I would imagine next time Paul had something to say about, fellas, let's don't turn loose right here, I bet they were like, whoo. We with you, Paul.
That's it, brother.
We with you.
Yes.
I pray God's going to minister to you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Thank you, God.
Father.
What a blessing.
We need you today.
Lord,
we need your help, your strength, your power. We need conviction. We've got children, grandchildren. We've got people, loved ones, grandmas, grandpas, parents that are not here today that need your touch. God, we want to ask you to convict hearts and guide people to the Lord. God, let our ministry be that you've given us. And God, let us be fruitful. And God, let us not get bogged down in the things of this world and miss the opportunity to point people to Christ. God, give us power. Power in our words. Power in our prayer. Power, God, Lord, with you. And we'll trust you, praise you, and ask you to increase. God gives the increase. Father, give this church an increase of people that are looking for something besides the ways of sin and death. God, open hearts. Add to the flock such as should be saved. We'll praise you, trust you. Bless Brother Donnie, God. Touch him. Minister, Lord, of this church. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all God's church said,
Amen.
Amen.